this tears go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom.
What is up, Wisconsin? It is Wednesday. I am Maggie Dawn. He is Fancy Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We have a busy show for you today. Of course, when the 3 o'clock hour rolls around, you know it's going to be Maggie and the Millionaires. You're not going to want to miss that. We have a great guest for you this afternoon. Also, want to keep in mind, you can continue to get election updates at civicmedia.us/vote. Check it out, everything that you need to know. And if that fails, you can always go to myvote.wi.gov. You can check out ballots ahead of time, confirm your ward, find out about early registration. Because, Brian, the whole point here is every time we got to remind people to make a plan to vote. Make sure that you and your friends and your family all have a plan to vote. Because it's not like voting happens on one day anymore. There's the whole absentee, technically, but we call it early voting here in Wisconsin. So we all have to have the plan to vote. Have you made a plan to vote yet, Brian?
Yes. I have a fantastic polling station right down the road. I go every morning. I'm going to drop off Darby and then go and vote.
I love it. My folks are those people that like to try to be voters number one and two at their ward. I'm not quite so eager. I usually am an early voter myself. I like to go down to the City of Milwaukee Municipal Building, not too far from my house. When I find that I've got like a morning that's not super packed, I can go in there. No rush, no pressure. I also find that it's a little less tense, if you know what I'm saying, because it's not actually election day. So folks, again, if you want to find out where you can fill out in person your absentee ballot and submit that to an elections official, again, check out myvote.wi.gov. So important. Make a plan to vote. Check in with people. Make sure folks have rides. Because, you know, unlike basically everywhere in Western Europe that vote on the weekends or they declare it a holiday,
yeah,
we vote on a Tuesday.
I was going to say, why don't we have some sort of, you know, I don't know, voting holiday where we all get hot dogs and vote?
Seriously, very silly. And I, to your point exactly, Brian, I was talking to a couple of my friends. I think people have come to know that I've got some teachers who are dear friends of mine. They teach in the Milwaukee public school system. And they were saying that MPS, I don't know if they like missed the memo, but had November 5th scheduled as a regular school day. Like, hey, everybody, come on. It's a school day. Most polling places in the city and many, many other jurisdictions are at schools. Like,
I was
going to
say,
aren't
half the public going to be in there talking to them? And this is, hey, I'm voting. Oh, I'm also in third period.
Yeah,
it's fine.
They finally figured that out right before their first day of school. Let's see, not yesterday, the day before yesterday, right before they all came back to school. So MPS at least had that cleared up. The county now provides a holiday for its employees on election day. So does the City of Milwaukee. That's becoming more and more the norm. It's now a federal holiday. At least that's been corrected. And that sort of has a trickle down impact into the banking industry. But hey, Congress, if all you GOPers are all about great voter participation, we could actually mandate that workers be given voting day off. That would that would be an interesting idea there, wouldn't it?
And I'd be all for selling sponsorships for it.
No kidding.
At least to advertise for it. Like, hey, sponsored by hot dogs.
Well, I don't know what the federal election laws or the state campaign finance laws about that. But we could figure out a way to do this as a country. And again, that has been the way that they have done it. And most of the Western European countries that I am aware of, it seems to only make good common sense to me, as in a big fat duh. But all of this to say, it's November 5th. It is Tuesday. There has been some, I think, confusion about whether it was November 6th or 5th, because the last presidential election. It was a different date, but it is November 5th, Tuesday. Everybody should have a plan to vote on that day. I have worked the polls numerous times on election day. I did it in an official capacity when I was working for Milwaukee County's Corporation Counsel's office. And those duties, because we were part of the team of attorneys, public sector attorneys, nonpartisan attorneys, when I was working for the county, whose job it was to ensure that the voting process went smoothly on election day. So as part of that, we would be assigned basically like zones within Milwaukee County. We'd be assigned within those zones, numerous polling places, and basically all day long, starting at like 6 o'clock in the morning, we'd drive from polling place to polling place, usually in teams of two lawyers. We would get to know the election inspector, which is basically like the grand poobah for that particular polling place. So you'd introduce yourself to the election inspector. Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn. I am Corporation Counsel for Milwaukee County. This is my colleague, John Smith. We're here to make sure that everything's running properly. Have you received complaints from campaigns? Any concerns? Do you have enough ballots? All that kind of stuff. And we would continue to do that from morning until after the polling places closed and report back up to the lead attorney within the Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office that was responsible for election law compliance. I did that many years out of in my job as corp counsel. I think I can remember one major problem, and it was they ran out of ballots. And it was trying to get, and they knew that they were going to run out ahead of time. So I was able to contact that municipality's clerk to get more ballots brought out. In fact, the sheriff's department and the police department like escorted the ballots with a ballot official to get them to the point. So disaster was averted, Brian. Nothing to worry about. The elections went fine. But all of these elections on election day, I have never seen anybody get arrested. I've never seen anything materially irregular over 7.5 years. I also have done election monitoring on behalf of campaigns in the past, where you just sit there and you watch and you look for irregularities. I'll tell you this, Brian, which I think is really interesting. In all of my time as an election monitor for a campaign, and actually it's called an election observer, is the technical term, for a campaign, here's what I can tell you. Every year that I did this, when the Democratic campaign would train us, the concern was only and ever this. We were worried about voter intimidation. In other words, a Republican observer challenging people's ballots over and over and over again, or every person that maybe heard speaking Spanish challenging ballots, right? That's what we were predominantly concerned about.
That's what happened in Glendale, right?
That's what we had Brian Kennedy on, mayor of Glendale, who talked about the fact that during the primary, they were seeing a lot of challenges. So folks, I want you all to know and hear this from me. As someone who in my past life was charged with helping to ensure the smooth conduct of elections, as someone who in my past job duties was in charge of providing legal advice to the Milwaukee County Elections Commission during the 2020 presidential recount, as someone who during my past life in public service defended the Milwaukee County Elections Commission in the lawsuits brought by the Trump campaign, not a single one in the state of Wisconsin found to have any merit. No ballots eventually thrown out because of that lawsuit. All spurious allegations in the end. Oh, by the way, decided by a Republican judge, just by way of note, in federal court, at least. Having done this for a really long time, if you or anybody you know or love or a friend, or if you see someone effectively getting harassed or bullied by an election observer in a polling place, please do not yourself interfere or step up or discuss. Ask one of the polling place workers, say, I think this person is having a problem. They seem to be getting bullied or harassed. Ask an election poll worker to assist. Couple of other things. Every single elector in the state of Wisconsin can bring any person they wish to into their little voting area with them to assist them with filling out their ballot. So, for example, you have motor skill issues. You can't hold a pen or a pencil well. You can grab anybody you want to help you fill out the bubbles if that's still what you've got in your polling place. If you do not speak English and you need someone to translate your ballot, you can bring anybody you want into your particular booth to help you fill out that ballot. And people, at the end of the day, here's what. Anybody stops you from voting that day, ask for a provisional ballot. The word is provisional ballot. They will give you the provisional ballot, even if they're saying you're in the wrong polling place. Obviously, go to the right polling place. Try to get registered in the correct polling place. But as a last resort, people, you can always, always request a provisional ballot, fill it out, and I believe you have 24 hours or 36 hours. You can ask the election workers, I'm sorry, I don't know this off the top of my head, to come back and provide the government issued ID and address verification or any other verification documentation that you may need to show to ensure that what was cast on voting day, on election day as a provisional ballot, ends up being counted. Whew, we got our PSA for this afternoon done, Mr. Kelly. I'm so glad. It's been one of the things that I'm like, at least once a week, I want to go through the particulars of voting. I think I'm going to be doing it on Wednesday. It's be woke about your right to vote Wednesdays here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Folks, keep it locked in. We're going to come right back, Brian and I. I want to talk about like what the weird obsession with the GOP is with women and all of our reproductive issues. It's a little batty. We'll talk about it when we come back. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civics Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. Welcome back, Wisconsin. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My producer, Brian Kelly, joining me. And Brian, I don't know about you, but I almost cannot keep up with the news about like what is the most recent stupid thing that some Republican has said about women, whether it's Eric Hovde last week, whether it's the next unearthed clip that J.D. Vance said something creepy, Derek Van Orden, we got sound with him talking about Aboriginal culture. And of course, Donald Trump, nearly every other thing that comes out of his mouth is offensive to women. It does seem like there's quite a lot, right?
J.D. Vance can't even order donuts correctly without making it weird. Cheesesteak. Give me one of those things. Donuts. Yeah, cheesesteaks and donuts. Like, those are the most easy things. Those are just, hey, get me a dozen donuts. I'd like these, and these. Have a good time. Or, hey, this cheesesteak's delicious. Even if you don't like it, eat it, bite and smile, and move on, and then throw up in the car. It's just what you do. It's normal.
And folks, if you don't know the references to the donuts and the cheesesteaks, J.D. Vance's very bizarre cheesesteak ordering offended some people in Pennsylvania. This is a constant problem. This is much like, on occasion, I don't know why. Let's just take a moment and observe that for a second, Brian. What staffer, this is a frequent problem with politicians. They're visiting, you know, a state. They engage, they go to have some regionally specific cuisine. And staffers have not told them, you need a staffer to explain to you, don't mess with the food order, I guess is the first thing. Right?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, if
then how to like eat it's like people that are eating a New York slice, which is sort of floppy crust and you roll it up and you shove it in your mouth with a knife and fork is not how New Yorkers eat slices.
The whole point of doing so, the whole point of doing this is so you can appear like somewhat of a normal person. Just so you can appear like you can, like, I don't know, some guy named Joe Biden, I believe, has this whole thing about ice cream where he looks really cool having an ice cream cone.
Eating an ice cream.
He's got his sunglasses on. He's got an ice cream cone.
He's normal.
Because he's been to an ice cream shop before. And it seems like J.D. Vance hasn't actually done things like be a person in the United States, but yet wants to go and represent all of the people in the United States. And he can't pass the basic setup.
Like, just order for a normal person.
Just order a cheesesteak. Just order some donuts, dude.
Anyways, these are the problems. And it's interesting. I think they happen with greater frequency, frankly, because our candidates look more and more like the billionaire class, right? Like, J.D. Vance, by his own language and words, is like, yeah, I work for Peter Thiel, a billionaire. Peter Thiel basically funded his Senate campaign. Maybe J.D. Vance eventually, maybe one day he used to be someday in the past, some kind of person that lived in Appalachia. He ain't anymore. Now he's a silver spoon Yaley who hangs out and rubs elbows with billionaires. Same thing with Hovde, with Ron Johnson, with Trump. There's a reason these people act strange to us normal plebeian folks, right? Because they don't eat cheesesteaks anymore. Private chefs.
If I may go back to the 2016 election, that's kind of what Hillary Clinton did wrong. With the hot sauce and all the weird, yep, awkward stuff, that's the stuff that lost her everybody because she portrayed herself. And by the way, still one of the most qualified people to ever have run for president. But it wasn't that lost it. It was... frankly, weird.
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing. If you're listening right now and you're yelling, and you're like, Maggie and Brian, why are you talking about the way they eat donuts and pizzas and cheesesteaks? Because I think every American, no matter what, how Democratic or Republican or independent or I don't care about it you may be, want people that have some concept of the way normal people live, work, and eat. Right. So when candidates do weird things when consuming traditional regional cuisine, it isn't a good play. My whole angle on this, and then we'll get to the fact that apparently zero Republicans know how to talk to or about women. But my point here is one strong indicator of the weird ain't just their technical policies. It's look at how they hang out with regular folks, because most of them don't ever hang out with regular folks.
And I'm going to give you folks a little bit of inside baseball here. When I'm giving Maggie notes and stuff, Maggie would love to go and talk to you guys all about politics all day long. But when we talk about things, we say, you need to bring in baseball. You need to talk about food. You need to talk about other things. And the reason why is because there's complex policy issues out there that are really important. But if you can't trust her on eating a cheesesteak, then what are you going to do with the complex stuff? You know what I mean? If you can go and relate based on the normal, regular thing like everyday people do, that's something you can build on. And if you can't just pass that as a politician, you really shouldn't be a politician.
It's just so basic. And this, to me, they're of one sort of indicator. I think the stuff that Republicans are saying, that J.D. Vance and Donald Trump are saying about women, about a woman's place in this world, a woman's place on a political stage, as well as her reproductive freedoms, is just weird. It's not the way regular people talk about these things. Why are they trying to normalize like Cro-Magnon era ideas? Like, do they not think Republican women, even very traditional conservative Republican women who might be stay-at-home moms or whatever, have a very traditional view of gender roles? I don't know too many women who are like, you know what? I think basically all women should stay at home and want to hate or cast aspersions on women who work or mothers who work. I don't get that read from women that I know and women I hang out with. And yet that seems to be the constant, not drip, 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 but a freaking fire hose of knuckle-dragging Cro-Magnonisms. I don't know any other word for it. I guess I just made one up. They're Cro-Magnonisms. But we're going to listen to what can only be like a litany. Brian, I don't even know how many sound cuts we have. And by we, I mean you who went and got them all so that we could talk about them. But folks, I want you all to listen to what these people are actually saying about women. Of course, we're going to start off with Trump's enormous abortion flip-flop over in the last week. It started on Thursday. He tried to clean it up on Friday, and we still have a problem. But all of these things are weird. And I'm going to suggest to you this as we go out to take a few messages. Here's what I want us all to think about. Isn't the reason that it's weird is because they know their platform of a national abortion ban and declaring that fetuses or blastocysts are people leads them to uncomfortable places that women hate and families hate. And men who love women hate. And that is IVF and fertility treatments are off the table because fetuses and blastocysts are women. And when your public policy can't be explained in normal terms, you end up saying really weird stuff. And we've got a bunch of it coming up next. You're not going to want to miss a minute because Fancy Brian, the producer of producers, has got them all lined up for us. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere because GOPers saying weird stuff about women is lined up for you next. Welcome back, Wisconsin, or welcome if you're just joining us. My name's Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, joined by my producer, Fancy Brian Kelly. We call him Fancy because his name is spelled with a Y. Indeed, Fancy, Fancy. But what he's got especially lined up for us this half hour is a lot of fancy sound cuts because I was trying to keep up with all of the news, Brian, to share with everyone about all the weird things various so-called Republicans, so-called freedom lovers, so-called don't tread on mirrors have been saying about women. And I can't keep up. Can't. Totally overwhelmed by this. Seems like every day new stuff flying out of the pie holes of Eric Hovde, Van Orden, especially J.D. Vance. I mean, what did the guy do for the last 10 years? Go on obscure podcasts and just talk smack about women? Seems like. And of course, Donald Trump, the weirdest of the weird, saying the most nonsense or the most things that make no sense about women. Thank you for getting all the sound, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the backlash from, you know, little men feeling that they have been belittled and now they're overly doing it and overly compensating to become more Cro-Magnon-y.
Yeah, I think if we had to put a ticker on the bottom, it would just be overcompensating, question mark. It seems to be an absolute epidemic of this. But, you know, in order to level set, let us remind everyone who the MAGA candidate for president is. This is Donald Trump back with Chris Matthews, a few moons ago, reminding us exactly what he thinks about a woman's right to choose.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah, there has to be some form.
10 years,
I don't
what?
Know. That I don't know.
So, to recap, that's Trump with Chris Matthews, I think in what, like 2018, maybe somewhere around there. And this was a long form interview. You can go listen to the entirety of it. But Trump, since he became an actual legitimate possible candidate for the presidency, that is going back to 2015, right? And the golden escalator. Despite the fact that Trump in the 80s and early 90s was pro choice, pro-choice. Donald Trump ran in 2016, ran in 20, and is running in 2024 on an anti-abortion, anti-freedom. We want small government, just small enough to fit into your bedrooms and bodies, ladies. Like, this is what he's running on. This is who he is. He wants punishment for women who receive abortions. He will sign a national abortion ban. He will sign onto and support invasive tracking of women and their pregnancies. Ew. Gross.
Maggie, the scary part for me is that he's been talking about this, but the way he talks about it, he hasn't even thought about it, which means that if he's open to suggestion, he'll just do whatever these people will tell him, because he has not thought about, you can clearly tell, well, yeah, some sort of punishment. What would that be? Maybe something. This is a really important, really touchy subject, but I really haven't thought about it, but I have a really strong, not so good policy on it. Maggie, it is scary.
He doesn't know what he thinks. He is simply pandering, right? It is all lies. It's all damn lies. And you know this because he doesn't, not only does he not have any consistency, he doesn't have any specifics on what this is. He flip-flops even in a 24-hour news cycle, which was amazing. So to set the stage here, everybody, Florida has on its ballot this fall an amendment that voters can either vote yes for or no for, an amendment to the state's abortion ban. The abortion ban kicks in at 6 weeks. Very few women know that they're pregnant at 6 weeks. Why? Because you get a period once a month. 6 weeks is 2 weeks more than 1 month. So you will have barely missed a period before the abortion, many women, if you have irregular menses, won't even know that they're pregnant and the abortion ban has already kicked in. So the amendment that's on the Florida ballot would extend that period of time from 6 weeks to something longer, the period of time during which a woman could get an abortion in the state of Florida. Obviously, everybody that knows anything about this knows that a 6 week ban is stupid. It is an effective total ban on abortion because women don't know they're pregnant at 6 weeks. Just ask, I don't know any woman.
Or any dad who knows that they can't talk about it till after 14 weeks.
Yeah. Yes. Or any guy who's had a girlfriend who had a missed period. I mean, for crying out loud, it's not just anti-woman, it's anti-family, it's not caring. So Donald Trump was asked on Thursday of last week, so I'm talking Thursday, August 29th, how he would be voting on this very important issue that many women consider to be their number one issue. And in recent Pew Research polling, if you are a woman under the age of 45, abortion and reproductive freedoms are your number one issue on this critical issue. In the state that he lives in, he's asked, how are you voting on the 6 weeks? Are you going to vote to make it longer so that women might actually have some early access to abortion? Listen to this word salad.
Florida, the state that you are a resident of, there's an abortion-related amendment on the ballot to overturn the 6 week ban in Florida. How are you going to vote on that?
Well, I think the 6 week is too short. It has to be more time, and I've told them that I want more weeks.
So you'll vote in favor of the amendment?
I am going to be voting that we need more than 6 weeks. Look, just so you understand, everybody wanted Roe v. Wade terminated for years, 52 years. I got it done. They wanted it to go back to the states. Exceptions are very important for me, for Ronald Reagan, for others that have navigated this very, very interesting and difficult path. Our country's been torn apart by Roe v. Wade for years. And if you go back 10 years, 15 years, all they wanted to do is they wanted it back in the states. They didn't want it to be in the federal government. I was able to do that. I believe in exceptions for life of the mother. If you look, incest, rape.
Okay, first of all, no, he doesn't. That's a lie. Second of all, the people that wanted Roe, everyone was not the people that wanted Roe v. Wade overturned, which is a small segment of the Christian nationalist evangelical right. That is just packed full of so many lies. except for this. He's like, yeah, I think there should be more than 6 weeks. I'm going to be voting for more than six, which means he would have voted yes on this very issue to increase the number of weeks that a woman would have to get an abortion in her first trimester. Guess what happened between Thursday and Friday, Brian?
Flippity-floppity, Easter's on its way?
Ooh, flippity-floppity, flip. Of course, the entire evangelical right had a cow. Let's be clear here.
A golden cow?
A golden cow, yes. Let's be clear. Donald Trump overturned Roe v. Wade by stacking the court with extremist, activist judges that care not about what regular people think about these things. They care not, have never cared about the practical impacts of their decisions. Donald Trump overturned Roe v. Wade. He now talks about it like, oh, returning it to the states. No, the entire point has always been an abortion ban. So, of course, on Friday, Donald Trump had to retract that. I'll be voting for more than six, which would have been a yes vote for Florida's amendment, and issued a statement making clear that he will be voting no on a Florida ballot measure that would, again, repeal the state's six-week abortion ban and make it longer than that. He said to Fox News Channel on Friday, quote, I think 6 weeks, you need more time. But at the same time, the Democrats are radical. So I'll be voting no for that reason.
That's a stupid reason. I don't care what, like, if your reasoning is I don't want abortion, then that's the way you should
then
vote.
Say
then
that.
That's totally fine. But literally his reasoning, he says, are the Democrats are bad. This is why I go insane when people call and say, nope, I'm not going to go into business with him, not going to go and do anything, but I'll totally vote for him. Why? Because he's not a Dem. And that is not logical,
so
sound reasoning.
Lame. This should not be how we determine rights for 50% of the stinking population, or a family's right to elect to use IVF or other fertility measures. So we'll get to the most recent crazy thing that J.D. Vance has said about women and reproductive freedom. But first, it's always fun to listen to Trump's clean up in aisle five, please. Clean up in aisle five.
The president is simply saying he doesn't like 6 weeks. He obviously has said he doesn't like late-term abortion. And I think he will make an announcement on what he actually wants to do on the Florida law in particular. But again, President Trump's been extremely consistent that he's going to make this decision as a citizen of Florida, but he wants the national government that he intends to lead to be focused on national issues like inflation, the cost of housing, and the wide open southern border. He wants states to make their own abortion policy, and that will be his position for the remainder of the campaign and the remainder of his presidency.
Clean up on aisle five. I mean, when your VP candidate has to go on and explain that, like, no, it's not really a flip-flop, but it is a flip-flop because, you know, women should be punished, but now it's up to the states. But I took credit for Roe v. Wade being overturned, and I think abortion is bad. And yes, I'd sign a national ban, but now I'm not talking about that. And yes, I'll be voting yes on Florida's amendment because 6 weeks isn't enough to, no, I will not be voting for the Florida ballot measure because Democrats are radical. Yeah.
So, He cared about this issue so much that he packed the courts, like the Supreme Court, the highest court in the land. He packed them.
The federal courts, mind you, right?
He packed them with right-wing people so that this could be overturned and upheld. But yet he hasn't even bothered to think about the specific policies or how it would actually carry out at all. And it doesn't matter so much as it just got happened. And then we're going to move on now. That's it. What?
And, you know, somewhere between late-term abortion, which is less than 1% of abortions, let's be very clear, and occurs when there is something medically very, very wrong happening to either the mother or the fetus.
And every single one of those pregnancies was wanted, by the way.
Yes. 36 weeks, that's late-term, you know, in the 32, 36, 28, 36, and 6 weeks when Florida's abortion ban kicks in. So Donald, so JD, what about all those other weeks? Let's just say 20 weeks. What about between 6 and 20? That's what we're talking about, you dolts. Anyways, I've digressed. and it is important to listen to some more craziness from J.D. Vance on women. Now, remember, he likes to use big words he learned in graduate school, so I will translate and listen closely because, again, it's J.D. Vance big word trivia, but let's take a listen.
And so those people end up focusing on career and on credential at the expense of the things that actually make people happy. And so you have people at Yale Law School, you have women who think that truly the liberationist path is to spend 90 hours a week working in a cubicle at McKinsey instead of starting a family and having children. And I think that those people, in their defense, they genuinely believe that the path of liberation is to work 90 hours in a cubicle at McKinsey. What they don't realize, and I think some of them do eventually realize it, thank God, is that that is actually a path to misery. And the path to happiness and to fulfillment is something that these institutions are telling people not to do. And that's basically what I think the corruption is. The corruption is it puts people on a career pipeline that that causes them to chase things that will make them miserable and unhappy. And so they get in positions of power, and then they project that misery and unhappiness on the rest of society.
But then where does the racial gender resentment come from? Is it just because they realize that they didn't get what they want and now they want to exert their anger on the world? Or
wow. Not to worry, everybody. I will unpack all of that because there's so much in there. When we come back, you're not going to want to miss my hot take on J.D. Vance's "What was that?" More when we come back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Change, change, change.
Change, change,
change. Change, change, change.
Change, change, change.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. If you're just joining us, welcome. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm with my producer, Brian Kelly. To close out this hour, first of all, kudos to Brian. You pulled a lot of sound. We've been listening to bits of it about the most recent Trump flip-flop on whether or not women deserve to be treated as full human beings under our nation's system of laws. And J.D. Vance's bizarre gender role worldview, it is really creepy. So he was on, what's the name of this podcast he was on?
It is
back in like 21, I think.
Moment of Truth podcast. It's always these weird podcasts he's on.
And very fringe.
His theory is that the women, the liberal women in Yale want to go to work 90 hours in a cubicle at what is McKinsey?
Okay, so McKinsey, here's what he said. It's quote, you have people at Yale Law School, and you have women who think that truly the liberationist path, do you mean liberal? Because we'll talk about liberationist in just a second. That the liberationist path is to spend 90 hours a week working in a cubicle at McKinsey instead of having a family and starting a family and having children. Okay, first of all, McKinsey is the largest consulting firm in the world.
Yeah, I was going to say, quick question for us non-elites. What is McKinsey? Because dude is being very elite there. No idea what you're talking about.
I didn't know what McKinsey was myself until I was a senior in college, and someone that was a year or two older than I was, who was getting the same degree I was, people were all thrilled because she got a job at McKinsey.
Oh, McKinsey.
And then
McKinsey.
I found out what McKinsey was, and I was like, I don't want to go do that. By the way, just as a side note about McKinsey, I sued McKinsey as Milwaukee County's Corporation Counsel because they were the consulting firm to Purdue Pharmaceuticals, which basically single-handedly created the opioid epidemic. Just some Maggie notes on McKinsey.
That's fun. That's fun. That'd be interesting to know when, you know, J.D. Vance is trying to relate to people and he talks about McKinsey and still have no idea.
It's an elite reference, yep. Right? Like, thank you for pointing that out, Brian. But the idea that, forget where it is, women who think that the liberationist path is to spend 90 hours a week working instead of starting a family and having children. Here's what I am. A liberated woman who has worked 90 hours a week. I did it for years. There were some years that I billed over 3,000 hours. Okay. First of all, I want to explain to J.D. Vance the difference between me and my fellow lawyers at this big fancy law firm that went to Yale. I don't have a trust fund. I needed that job. I needed that job to help me with my student loans. Without that job, I was going broke. I wasn't there to find a husband. I was there to find a paycheck. So let's check yourself, JD, when you talk about the liberationist path. Here was my liberationist path. I wanted to owe no one and nothing. I wanted complete financial autonomy over my life. I didn't want to have to worry about relying financially on a man or a woman or anybody else. I wanted to pay off my student loans so that I could save money so that I wouldn't have to worry if I lost a job in the future. I wanted something to rely on that was wholly my own. I don't have kids, JD. Do I not count? Do I not get to vote? I don't have cats, but I have a dog. Am I a childless dog lady who made a wrong moral choice in your J.D. Vance's worldview? That hurts me to read that. And I'm not miserable. I have the job that I dreamed of. I'm not unhappy. I live a great life. But guess what? Women pursuing career because they want financial independence so that they are never deserted, so that they can provide for their children if they choose to have them, so that they can be independent. Liberation is choice, my friend. And being able to choose whatever career I want and choose when and where and with whom I will make children or not, that is liberation, JD. And shame on you for besmirching the choice of women to not have children and pursue a career, which by extension and implication also denigrates the choice of women to marry and or have children and stay home to raise them. Because if we collectively as women in a country don't respect the right of a woman to choose when and where and how to create a baby and what kind of career she wants or not, then we don't respect women at all. I'm just exhausted by all of this. And it's not just from Donald Trump or J.D. Vance. It's from Wisconsin's own congressional delegation, none other than Derek Van Orden. In an eerily similar kind of rant, Derek Van Orden has said, again, some creepy things about women. And basically, I mean, if we translate all this J.D. Vance special fancy speak down to its basic, is that women should stay home with kids. That is their purpose. And women who choose aggressively by some to pursue aggressive and cutthroat careers, oh, they by definition are miserable and unhappy. Why isn't it that men who pursue cutthroat, aggressive careers, aren't they miserable and unhappy?
Well, Maggie, it's a dirty job and everyone's got to do it.
Well, it's actually the flip of that, right, Brian?
Yeah.
It's that men get to do the tough jobs and the aggressive jobs that pay a lot of money. And women, you, by virtue of your gender, don't belong in those spaces. That's what J.D. Vance is saying. I have a problem with that. I think most women have a problem with that. I think most Republican women have a problem with that. Like Nikki Haley, do you think that you should be doing these tough careers? Is that okay? What about Liz Cheney? That's the problem here. What about any Republican woman who's got a career doing tough, cutthroat things? It's just ridiculous. I'm going to continue on this tack come 3:30. Mark, set your timers. You're going to want to come back at least at 3:30 because J.D. Van Orton's got some crazy sound that Brian and I unearthed from a few years ago. Next up, of course, we've got Maggie and the Millionaires because it is top of the hour, 3 o'clock. What is all this about? Why is J.D. saying weird stuff? Because it's always about the money, money, money. J.D. wants the women to take those jobs that don't pay so much money, like taking care of the kids at home for free. Or he wants his mother-in-law to do it. for free. We'll be back with more. News, weather, and sports are up right now. And then Brian and I will be back at the top for Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.